We are going to do a quick warm-up activity now with the kids. So I need all the children to stand up. Don't jump up, it's all right. And today we're going to be thinking about something to do with old and new things, okay? So to start thinking about that, to warm up, we're going to do a quick challenge, okay? In a minute, I'm going to ask you to find some kind of object in the chapel, okay? You're not allowed to push each other or make a mess, but find an object without breaking it or smashing anything, okay? You can go anywhere down there, okay? Not near the electrical stuff, but you can have a look at the bookshelves, you can have a look carefully around over there, maybe in the cupboards, or maybe you've got family members here that might have some objects with them, you can ask them to, okay? And you have to bring it back to me. It's not a race, okay? So the first thing I want you to find is something that's more than 5 years old. It can't be a person, okay? An object, not a person, that's more than 5 years old. Okay, Anna's brought something. Come on, everyone else, go, find something. Okay, now. Okay, listen up. Okay, put that down, put it down. Okay, you're not allowed to get the same things now. Something different. I want you to find something that is more than 10 years old. Okay, go. Okay, stay there. Is this piano more than 10 years old? What do we think? Yes, well done. Yes. Henry, let me check the date on it.
It should be.
2000, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, that's 24 years old. Okay, Anna, you found a book. It's a ladybird book. I think that definitely is more than 10 years old. Should we see if it's got a date in it? Often books will have a date on the first page. This one doesn't. Oh, wait. Oh, no, printed in England, but I'm sure that's more than 10 years old. So, well done.
I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Day. Freddie, what have you got? One of these hymn books. Does anyone in the chapel know, when did you get these?
Back in the 80s.
In the 80s. I think we can safely say that's more than 10 years old. Well done. What about, yeah? Your dad's amplifier. Is that more than 10 years old? Ooh. Just, oh, lucky. Have you found anything?
What, this stand? Music stand, that looks quite old, doesn't it? Yeah, watch it as well. Yeah.
Okay. Right, brilliant, okay. Put your things back. Right, we're going to do one more challenge now. Okay? I need you to find an object that is new. And the newest object, I'm going to try and work out which is the newest. The newer the object, no, you can't get anything out of that bag. Not in that bag. Then put that down. Then it has to be over there somewhere, behind here. You can't go this way or over there. Okay, you found a telephone. It looks a bit old. It's all cracked.
I just got it today.
Ooh.
I just got this today. That. I got this today.
Okay. So it's new for you today.
Yeah.
It's still okay, let me see. Does it have that newness smell? Let's smell it.
It's actually brand new, James.
Is it? Okay. Oh, yeah, it smells new.
I've got something very brand new.
Oh, okay, hold on to that. You don't want to lose that.
How can January be?
Who likes the smell of new things, like new trainers? They have that special smell.
I like new bits.
And they're all clean.
They smell like fish and chips.
2 hours.
Okay, let's go round. Let's see. What have you got, Freddie? Have you found something? Oh, when did you get that?
Like,
you got
December.
It at Christmas. No, Freddie, you got it. Oh, yeah.
December.
Yeah.
December, okay.
This
what
is
have you
January.
Got? January. This is new. Right. Because yours is new, I want you to stand on this end. So we've got. I want you to stand there. So far, that's the newest.
The
water.
Okay, Dylan, what have you found? That flower, is it real or plastic?
Real.
Does anyone know where that
flower
is? A week and a half.
That is real.
Okay, so far you've got the newest thing. Okay, do you want to come and stand here on it? You Dylan's winning so far.
That's a new
What have you got? When did you get that?
Actually,
okay, stop.
I have got.
You can't look any more, Freddy, stuff.
Yeah, I'm just.
How new is that?
I got it a week ago.
A week ago, okay, come up here. I think that might be the newest thing.
I've got this today.
Oh. How new is that, Jenny?
One day old.
Oh, I think Anne's going to win this one. Anyone else? What's that? I thought you already had something.
I put this on this morning.
I think.
What about my socks?
My socks. You've all done really well. I'm going to let Anne choose the sweet first, and then you can all choose one from each other, okay? So a little bit later, we're going to be thinking about a story, or a couple of different stories, that Jesus told about old and new things. Okay, so now I'm going to ask John to come and read our first passage for us. So while we're listening, I need you to listen carefully, no fidgeting. You're allowed to breathe, but... okay, and we're going to read from Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22.
Jesus questioned about fasting. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, How is that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but you are not? Jesus answered, How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. They pour the new wine into the new wineskins.
Okay, thank you, John. So, for a long time now, during these family services, we've been looking at people who met Jesus. Okay, we've called the series Encountering Jesus. But today we're actually starting a new series of talks, and the new series is going to be called Stories of the Kingdom. And it's going to be all about stories or pictures that Jesus told that we call parables. Okay? Hands up if you've heard the word parables before. Okay, yeah, often when we're reading the Bible or maybe at the lighthouse, you would have read some of these parables before. A parable is a short story or just a picture that has an important lesson in it for us. And Jesus told lots of parables. Most of them were about something called the Kingdom of God. So each month we're going to be looking at some of Jesus' parables and thinking about what we can learn from them. Now, John read for us our first couple of parables, and we're going to be thinking about that to begin with. In Jesus' time, there were some people who used to do something called fasting. Okay? Who knows what fasting is? Anyone know what fasting is? Yep, Dylan? Yeah, it's where you choose not to eat for a period of time. It might just be during the day or something like that, where you don't eat, you decide not to eat. And it's usually so that you can pray or something like that. It's not just because you're going on a diet. It's usually for a reason, to do with God, to do with having time to think about Him and pray. And in Jesus' time, there were traditional fast days. And I think it was twice a week that people used to traditionally fast. And one reason they used to do that was to remember the sad things that had happened in the past in their history. So one of those was when they remembered when their temple got destroyed. And ever since then, on that day of the week, they would fast and they would look very sad.
Can you put your phone away, please? Ready? Pop it in your pocket, please, or somewhere else, thank you.
And so they would walk around all day looking sad and remembering that day. But on one of these days, when the other Jewish people were fasting and looking miserable, Jesus' disciples were different. Jesus' disciples just carried on happily eating as normal. So, when people saw this, some people came up to Jesus and they said, How come your disciples aren't fasting? That one looks like he's really enjoying his bit of bread or whatever it is. Yeah. And they said, How come your disciples aren't fasting? Like other people are. When John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are all fasting, how come your disciples aren't? And so that's when Jesus told a few parables. And the first parable was this one that we read. Jesus said this, How can the guests of a bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. So what Jesus is saying here, he's giving a picture of a wedding party.
Okay, here are the people at the wedding party. They're happy. They're eating food. They're celebrating their friend's wedding. Okay? And everyone knew that it would be really silly to fast on your best friend's wedding party. Can you imagine going to your best friend's wedding party and not eating anything and looking all sad and miserable? That wouldn't be very good, would it? A wedding party was a time to eat together and to celebrate and to be happy. And Jesus was saying, because he had arrived, it was a bit like being at a wedding party. It was a special time, it was a happy time. And so it would have been right for his disciples to fast and mourn and be sad. He said, when he would be taken away from them, then that would be a time when they would fast. There would be a time when the disciples would be sad. But right now, it was a happy time because Jesus was there. Something special was happening. Okay, and then Jesus said, a couple more parables to do with this. The first one was about what you do if you get a hole in a piece of clothing. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Maybe on your jeans. That's where I always used to get holes in the knees of my jeans. And what people used to do, I mean, nowadays, often, when we get a hole in our clothing, we just chuck it away. But in those days, clothing was very expensive, and you couldn't just throw it away. So people used to repair it by putting a patch on the hole. And Jesus said this: no one sews a new patch on an old item of clothing. Okay, no one sews a patch of new cloth, let's say, on an old item of clothing. But why not? The new patch might look really good. You might have done really neat sewing, and it might look fantastic. But something happens as soon as that item of clothing gets wet, or if you wash it, something bad happens. Does anyone know what that is, or can you remember from what happens? Why does the hole get even worse? Do you know? Yeah, because the patch, if it's a new bit of cloth, when you wash it shrinks. And so if that shrinks, what's going to happen? It's going to tear away and make the hole even bigger. Has anyone ever had an item of clothing that's got shrunk in the wash? Hey? Yeah? Yeah, I think we've all experienced that. No, I haven't. But, yeah, it's very sad, isn't it, when that happens? So you don't do that. You don't put a new bit of cloth on an old item of clothing. You've actually made it worse by doing that. So Jesus' point is this, that sometimes old things and new things don't mix. They don't sometimes mix well together, like a new patch on an old piece of clothing. So people have been asking Jesus why he didn't get his disciples to follow the traditional fast days. And in those days, people had lots of traditions and ways of doing things, and a lot of them, Jesus just ignored. He didn't do. Because that was the old way of doing things. Jesus hadn't come to just patch up the old ways of doing things, to make some repairs. Jesus had come to do something completely new. Like a completely new item of clothing. Okay, then Jesus told another parable. And this parable is a bit more difficult for us to understand today. He said this: no one pours new wine into old wineskins. What on earth is that about? Here's a picture that might start to help us. This is someone pouring wine, and they're pouring into this thing, which is called a wineskin. And a wineskin was a bit like a bottle made of animal skin. It was cleaned very well, okay? And that's what they would often put liquids in. Sometimes you could store water in it, or old wine, sometimes they would store new wine in there. This is a picture of a modern one. You can still buy them. I actually bought one on Amazon that I could show people, but it didn't arrive on time. But here's one, it's a smaller one that's made out of leather, and you can open it at the top and you can store liquids in it. Okay? And so, the great thing about these is, the great thing about wineskins is that a new one will expand. It stretches you a bit like a balloon. And that's very important if you're going to be storing new wine. And hopefully we're going to find out now with a little scientific experiment. So for this, first of all, I'm going to ask you, has anyone ever seen one of these before? And there you go, do you see this one in my house? Has anyone else seen one of these before? Have a look, have you?
I've seen one now.
Right, now what about before now? And you work out what that is for.
Potion,
maybe. Have any of you had or seen one of those before? If you ever done a potion, then you know what that's for. What do you think? Yeah, that gives you a clue. What do you reckon? For opening wine bottles, no.
Do you put it on the top of that?
Okay. What for? No. Okay, we're gonna do an experiment to find out what it's for. Okay. So the thing is about new wine is that it releases lots of gases. Okay? And you need a way to let the gases escape or expand. So this is what we use nowadays when you're making wine or if you've got a new wine. This is what we use to allow the gases to escape. You couldn't just leave the top off the bottle because then flies might get in there. So you need a way to stop things getting in there, but to allow the gases to escape. And this is what people nowadays use, okay? So, are there any mad scientists here? Okay, we've got two mad scientists. Kind of. Okay, could our mad scientists... I'll tell you what, we'll have... You to MPL. One of the girls who want to be a mad scientist? Okay, Anna. Okay, we'll have Benji Diller and Anna. Do you want to come up the front? We're going to do a little experiment. Okay, you're going to hold this. Okay, come here, fix the front. Okay. Put that in the other hand. Hold that in that hand. Okay. We've got some water there. We've got this thingy. This thing is called an airlock. Now, we've got some more things in here. We've got a large bottle. Okay, I'm going to put that on there. I need you to hold this. And one more thing. We've got some cola. Okay. This is very cheap cola, so it's going to get wasted, I'm afraid. But we have to make sure it doesn't get on the carpet. So what we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to get Anna. I need you to pour a little bit of water in there, okay? You can do it over here. Pour a little bit of water in there. Get more. Let's have a look. Bit more. Okay, bit more. So it goes up to about halfway. Yeah, that'll do. Great. That's fine, okay. So can you see the water in there?
Yeah.
We've got some water in there. Okay. Now, right there, Annie, done your bit, you can sit down. Now, the next thing, I need you to pour some cola in here, okay? I'll open it for you in case it's... Oh, you got it? Okay. And then Dilla, in a minute, you're going to put that on there. So, one second, stop a second. So, instead of wine, we're using cola because it releases gases. And we're going to put this on and see if we can see the gases coming out here, okay? So gently pull that in there. Pull it up a bit further, hold it up. Okay, good. Keep going. Okay, stand back. Actually, come around this side, dear. Keep going. Hold that. Keep going. We'll do about halfway and try that.
Three, two, one, stop.
Okay, ready? Okay, I need you to put that on there. I haven't actually tested to see if this is going to work or not. But hopefully it will. Okay, now we have to watch carefully. The gases should come up this side.
Push them off.
And then it should go down there, push the water down, and we should get bubbles coming up the other side. Yep, you see it coming, it's coming. Okay, you see the bubbles coming up there? Come a bit closer if you want. Okay, we'll move that out of the way.
Don't touch it.
Do
you get to do anything? Just
put
it on.
Can you see the bubbles coming up? Yep, you see the bubbles. Who thinks we should try to make the bubbles go even faster?
Yes.
I'm going to put a bit of sugar in. Okay, well, let's let Henry do it. I'm going to lift the lid up.
No,
we're going to put all the sugar in there, okay? Okay, ready? See if that makes more bubbles, ready? Okay. Oh, whoa! Lots of bubbles.
Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. So here we read about this new thing that Jesus was doing, and the new thing that God was bringing into the world, which was the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus calls it. And he says, the kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed, which is a really small seed. And yet, when it's planted, it grows, and it keeps on growing, and it becomes so big that birds can come and land in its branches. God's new kingdom began with Jesus. It began in Jesus' time. But here he tells us that it's going to start off really small, and it will be so small that it wouldn't look very big or important, just like a tiny mustard seed. Jesus' kingdom actually started with just a few disciples who didn't seem very important, and yet it grew and grew and it spread all over the world. And today you can go to any country, or nearly every country in the world, and you will find people there who are part of God's kingdom. But the point of Jesus' parable was that sometimes things can look really small and unimportant. Sometimes God's kingdom can look small and unimportant. But the thing is this: you can't judge a tree by the size of its seed. So sometimes, maybe in school, or wherever you are, sometimes you might see there's not many people there that believe in God. It doesn't seem like God's kingdom is very big. But you mustn't judge the tree by the size of its seed. Because God's kingdom, even though it might appear small, grows and grows into something really big. So, those are the stories of the kingdom for today that I wanted us to think about. And here's the main thing I want you to remember, that when Jesus came into the world, it meant that something big had begun, something new. And that was going to grow and grow into this big kingdom. One day, God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, will be all that there is. And the thing is for us is to make sure that we are ready to change and grow with that kingdom. To be able to be flexible and
change old ways and habits and ways of thinking. Allow God to change us so that we can be part of his kingdom. We're going to pray now and then we're going to sing our final song. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these stories that help us to understand what your kingdom is like. Thank you, Lord, that you've done something new in the world through Jesus. That you didn't leave us in darkness or in sin, but you came and started a new thing. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to be flexible and to change. Help us to be ready to follow you every day. Lord, sometimes it does seem like your kingdom is small. Sometimes to our human eyes and our understanding, it seems that there aren't very many people that are following you. But Lord, help us to believe and understand that your kingdom is growing and growing and has already grown a lot from those 12 disciples and will one day fill the earth. Lord, help us to make sure that we are part of your kingdom. Help us to change when we're doing wrong things. Help us to be sorry and repent of sin. And help us to learn to trust you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.